The word today is Psalms. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. The hymn book for the Old Testament was the Book of Psalms. All 150 Psalms were actually sung as hymns of worship to God. Each had a special emphasis, such as repentance, praise, triumph, and so forth. Here to review several of these for us is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Psalms.
I hope you love music, because I'm going to be talking about music today. And one of the important things I want you to have to be aware of, to have the knowledge of, is that the only creature that God has created that can actually sing is the human being. Now, I know, of course, you know, there are people that say that dolphins sing, and there's all kinds of birds that chirp and have a melody and so on. But I'm talking about actually singing a song. And the only part of God's entire creation that can actually sing a song is the human being, where we can put the words together with the melody and make it into a song. I love that fact. In other words, God is already preparing us for the fact that someday those of his disciples, those of his followers who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, are going to be with God in heaven. And one of the things we're going to do there, and it mentions this, by the way, in the book of Revelation, that we will be singing in heaven. In fact, I love the fact that a few of the stanzas, a few of the verses of the hymns that we're going to sing are recorded for us also in the book of Revelation, the Revelation of St. John at the end of the New Testament there. And we will even know what some of those words are. I just am looking forward to that already. I want you to know. Of course, I'm getting up there in age. I'm 75 years old now. And, of course, those years pass. And you kind of look forward to heaven more as those years pass, because there's been plenty of pain and misery and sorrow and all kinds of things here on earth. It's a good thing things aren't that great here on earth, quite frankly, or maybe we wouldn't want to leave. Who knows? You know, there are enough problems, it says in the scriptures, for the day. In other words, take care of the things that need to be taken care of today. That'll give you plenty to worry about and plenty to think about. We aren't supposed to worry, of course, because that's kind of showing a lack of faith and a lack of confidence. And we who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be with us and help us in every need and in every situation, we know that he's going to protect us and care for us. But talking about life just as it is, life does have plenty of troubles and plenty of problems. Now, in contrast, in heaven, there's going to be no sorrow. There won't be a single tear shed in heaven. There will be no sorrow, there will be no despair, there'll be no worry, there'll be no fear. Everything is going to be perfect. We are going to have a perfect relationship with one another. Now, getting back to the singing, you know, what's enjoyable to think about, everyone will have perfect pitch. Now, just think of that. And there will be perfect harmony. And not only that, but you and I aren't going to forget the words either. We'll all know the words perfectly. And I can just imagine before the throne of God that the angels will probably join in. As a matter of fact, I think it mentions in the birth statements of Christ, when Christ was announced that he was born, that the angels sang that message to the shepherds. I believe that's correct. And they filled the heavens with heavenly joy and song. And I just can't begin to even imagine what it's going to be when we get to heaven. Now, here on earth, we can hear, I think the average human being can hear about 7 octaves. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not, you know, a big, big, big music person, although I love music. But I'm just wondering if in heaven there might be, who knows, there might be 30 octaves. We know that a dog here on earth can hear a higher pitch from a whistle, let's say, than we can hear. So supposing when we have perfect hearing in heaven, maybe there's 30 different pitches, maybe there's 30 different octaves, and possibly as we are harmonizing and singing and praising God, maybe there will be so many different types of sounds that we won't even be surprised that we're constantly excited by the new sounds and constantly praising God. It's just going to be a wonderful way to look forward to giving God the glory and singing praises to Him. At any rate, the Old Testament hymnal was the book of Psalms. All the Psalms that we have, 150 of them in the Bible, were songs, and they were sung while they were traveling. Some of them were sung as they were going up to the temple. Others were sung for different purposes. We can see by the words that some of them were psalms of repentance, where people were very soberly and very thoughtfully reflecting on their sin and recognizing that God had to be merciful to them and forgive them their sins. No doubt those were sung in kind of a somber tone, I would think, almost maybe like chanting. And then there were the songs that were just full of joy, worshiping God, beginning with the first verses, praising Him and exalting His name. And I imagine those were sung very loudly and with the accompaniment of all types of instruments. You know, there's many different musical instruments mentioned in the Bible. And I imagine in heaven we're going to have a lot of different musical instruments playing different notes and singing. And I believe most of the Psalms, you know, they were written in Hebrew. And so as a result, they were pointed. That means accent points were listed there in the text to show the singers when to go up and when to go down. Most of it was kind of a chanting, you know, da 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 da, da 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 da, kind of like that, you know, up and down and up and down, although some of them might have had some melody to it. Anyway, all of that reminds me of the important role of music and the fact that we, human beings, are able to sing. And one of the things that I think you might enjoy doing is looking at some of the Psalms. Just kind of page through the Psalms. You will see some of them there. Psalm 40 is an example. Psalm 70. Just take a look at those. And they are very somber and sober, recognizing that God needs to forgive us, crying out to God for forgiveness and asking Him to come and hear our prayer. And then you have some very beautiful psalms, just almost like Easter Sunday morning hymns where we're praising God. You can see that already in the first verse of any psalm you turn to that says, "Praise God on high, the Almighty, you know, and let His name be heard all over the world, and let His glory be shown." So you have all types of moods and all types of themes. Now, one of the things I wanted to mention is that sometimes a psalm of mourning, where we are sorry for our sins and we are repentant, sometimes that can be read in the Old Testament in particular, not only there, but also in the New Testament, where there is a day of mourning. Now, usually it was a seven-day week of mourning, and they would sit in ashes, literally ashes, and cover themselves with ashes, rub ashes on their head and on their face. A lot of times they would shave their hair off. I can remember one of my close friends, a very committed Christian, one day showed up with his hair all cut off, and different people were asking him what that meant and why he had done that. I was aware that he was an Old Testament scholar and he really knew God's word well, and he knew that that was a sign of grieving. And so I walked over to him and I asked him, "What is it? Who is it that passed away? Are you grieving for someone?" He said, "Yes, Paul, that's right. I am grieving for a friend of mine who passed away, and I wanted to show my sorrow to their family. And so I shaved my hair so that my head was bald to be a sign, to be an indication that I was honoring them and was respectful of their loss." Now, while I'm thinking of that, I'm also aware that there's a type of psalm that you might have a little problem with when you first read them. They're called the imprecatory psalms. Now, the imprecatory psalms are those that ask God to judge righteously those that are harming his way of salvation and those that are leading other people to hell. Now, a false prophet would be an example of this. Somebody that's teaching someone the way to hell and are not saving them and are destroying them and taking away their hope, taking away their joy. God wants such people either to be converted and brought to faith, which is the first thing we should ask God to do. If we realize that they are not going to listen to God, they're not going to repent, then we ought to ask for their judgment, that they ought to be condemned, so that they can't lead others to hell. That's just a terrible, terrifying thing when you see someone teaching false doctrine and the people that believe them and accept them as knowing what they're talking about are going to end up in hell. That's just a terrifying thing. Now, interestingly enough, when you're looking at the Psalms, the imprecatory Psalms are to defend God's honor and glory. In other words, if someone's going to destroy God's message, they themselves need to be destroyed. And we need to protect God's name and glorify it. There are several Psalms. The longest Psalm has 176 verses to it. That's Psalm 119. The shortest Psalm has only two verses, Psalm 117. And I'd like to give you a psalm to memorize, Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. I would hope that you would praise God every day, make that a saying for yourself every day, and glorify his name. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He will bring it to pass. He will do for us that day what it's important for us to have in our lives that day. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. That's Psalm 43 and verse 5. I hope that you will make a psalm your own.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.